This message overall is a piggyback on the themes of Snow Camp. So for those of you who weren't there, I just have something in my... I'm just going to briefly recap the ideas of Snow Camp. Snow Camp Built Different was that we are, that we kind of reviewed the fact that God made us a specific way. And knowing that God has made us a specific way allows us the freedom to walk into the way that we're made. So the things that we maybe don't like about ourselves, or the things that maybe we think are most important about who we are as people, God has intentionally given to us so that we can walk into them and use them for His glory. So that's basically like the overview, couple sentence version of the weekend we had at Snow Camp. That you are made a certain way, that you would glorify God with your life a certain way. And so I hope that you all have been able to think about and consider the things that God has given you. Whether for you that's like flipping in your mind a negative trait into like a positive asset, or if it's like a matter of just accepting who you are as a created person, a created vessel. I hope you've been able to draw boldness and hope from last weekend. And as you all hopefully begin stepping in to using your gifts, we may run into this question. Okay, we may run into this question. How can I confidently do things that I've otherwise been embarrassed or nervous to do? Okay, so you're now thinking, all right, I see myself being this certain way, right? I see myself being someone who just like, I really want to uplift other people. I really want to like talk to other people and make them feel that they're warmed and welcomed and encouraged. But like, that's not really who I am. Like, that's not really how people know me to be. And so if I just start like switching up, now people are going to think I'm like switching up in a weird way. Like, how do I get around that? Maybe you feel that like the Lord has called you to like lead others in love and in truth, but you're worried that others are going to see it as like a power grab, right? You're like, I want to lead people. I want to be, I want to be someone who leads other people into growth and into love and into truth. But like, I don't want people to think that I'm just doing it because I want to be like above them and the leader guy, right? It can be kind of weird to now move into and try to adopt and accept that like you're now having to do things that you didn't do before and just be like okay with that, right? Listen, maybe you don't feel that way. Maybe I'm the one who thinks that like it's only appropriate to do certain things if there's like context for it to be done. Right, Brie yells at me all the time because she doesn't yell at me, but she is like, why didn't you say this thing? Why didn't you bring up that you have something going on tomorrow? And I'll say this, and this maybe you've heard this. Well, it didn't come up, right? Okay, I won't bring stuff up if it's not like relevant. And so things will just like come up and like we'll be hours away from being like, oh yeah, no, I actually have like a meeting. What are you talking? Look, how did this not come up? And I just wanted it to come up. I'm going to bring it up out of nowhere. No, I'm going to wait for it to come up. Yeah, or you didn't ask me. Yeah. That's exactly right. And for me, that's like something I do poorly. But sometimes we think this way, right? That like, okay, it's not appropriate for me to now like change how I am because I've like found my spot in the teen ministry, or I found my spot in like my school relationships, I found my spot in life, etc. And for me to now act differently is like outside of like who I've been as a person. Does anybody feel this way in general? All right, well, if you don't, then buckle in, because this is not going to be a cool message for you, maybe. Changing the way that I act around people will make them think that I'm like switching up on them. So how do we get around that? Right? How do we get around the feeling of like the social pressures of now acting or living a different way? So the simple answer is that you can't change what others think about you. That's the simple answer. But you can, all as a group together, change how you think about one another. So today, this message is not necessarily for you. It's for you, for others. All right. So this is not for you to be like, all right, this is the stuff that it's about me. It's about the stuff that I'm learning and about the stuff that's going on in me. Instead, this is about, all right, this is what I have to do for the sake of others. Okay? So this is, you're going to hear me say stuff about how other people around you should act. And you should hear that as, this is how I should act with other people. You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to make sure we clarify that along the way. But the goal is, that at the end of all this, we become the ideal ministry church environment where we all support and embrace and encourage one another. Okay? Now, the goal is that you as the individual would be able to do what the Lord has set in front of you with the support and encouragement and love from the people in your ministry. That's the goal, is that you get that. But in order for us to address that, I have to talk to you in a way that addresses all the people around you. Is that making any sense? Are we doing calculus right now? Is there astrophysics? Is it the GIF overlay of like all the math and the numbers and just the eyes? Like, you know the one? The one I'm talking about? Yeah. With the lady? Yeah.
The blonde lady.
Yeah, the blonde lady. Yeah. She's like probably 48 or something. We're asking the question, how can a person be supported as they exercise their newly found gifts? And Scripture is going to show us this. That you, as a member of the body of Christ, owe it to others to support the exploration of God-given gifts and traits with love and sincerity. All right, I'm going to say that again because that was a lot of words. It was a word salad. I'm going to toss some blue dressing on it in a little bit. But here's the word salad. You, as a member of the body of Christ, you owe it to others to support their exploration of God-given traits and gifts with love and sincerity, okay? So if you're someone who likes putting things in categories, then this message will fit neatly into our one another category of messages, right? That the Bible, the New Testament specifically, is filled with pray for one another, encourage one another, sharpen one another, and we're gonna just branch all of those into one single term of one anothering one another. So this is a one another message. Yes. Can I read this word salad sentence? You only wrote down the first half, all right. You, as a member of the body of Christ, owe it to others to support the exploration of God-given traits and gifts with love and sincerity. There it is. So let's pray, and then let's get into Proverbs chapter 29. Lord, I just thank you for this time that we have together. I pray that we as a ministry would be devoted to the encouragement and the building up and the edifying of one another, that we would be able to witness and be spectator to the growth happening all around us, that we too would be grown as a result. Lord, when one person is growing, it helps others grow, and I pray that we can encourage and foster that in this room. And Lord, all these things we pray in your precious name, amen. All right, so we're going to start in Proverbs 29, 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. This is not, I would say, the main passage for today. The main passage for today is going to come in a second. So at the end of full Sanduary, we were in Romans 12. And weirdly, full Sanduary. That's crazy. At the end of snow camp, we were at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Well, in this message, we're going to end up in Romans 12, verses 9 through 18. Maybe even 9 through 20. Who's to say? We'll see how far we get. But we're going to start here in Proverbs 29, 25, because it's an important starting point. It goes like this. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. What does this mean? What does it mean for something to bring a snare? Does anybody know? Anybody know? Not like a snare drum. A snare is a trap. A snare is a trap used in a place like the woods, right? If you're in the woods and you're trying to catch a raccoon or a raccoon or a fox, what you would do is you would set a snare so that the little raccoon would scamper through. And he would trip on this snare, and then the snare would yank him up. You ever seen it in like the, you know, it's like a Looney Tunes type of deal, you know?
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, with the, yeah. So that's a snare, okay? So what is the snare in this passage? The snare is fear of man. What is fear of man? Being scared of what? Ooh. Are we onto something? So the idea of fear of man is an interesting one. So the phrase fear of man is used just once in the Bible. It's used here. This is where we find it. But the idea of fear of man is all over the place. The idea of fear of man is all over the place. It refers to the idea of you being more worried about what people have to say about you than what God has to say about you. Okay, so fear of man would be the opposite of fear of the Lord, right? That the fear of the Lord would be you are mostly and primarily and chiefly and overwhelmingly concerned with God's opinion about you. And that all else might be secondary. But fear of man would say, okay, the God thing is cool, but like, do people think that I'm cool? Do people think that I'm doing the right thing? And so you evaluate maybe your worth, you evaluate your abilities, you evaluate your value to other people in terms of whether or not they like you. That's fear of man. That idea is all over Scripture. And so this passage here is the only time that these words are used. But here's some instances in the New Testament of a fear of man type of topic being addressed. Here's John 12, 42 through 43. Nevertheless, many did believe in Jesus, even among the rulers. But because of the Pharisees, those people did not confess Jesus so that they would not be banned from the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. What's happening here is people are like believing in Jesus. It's like a crazy cool thing. People are believing in Jesus, but they're scared of the Pharisees because the Pharisees don't like Jesus, right? So they're so scared of the Pharisees. They're like, we like Jesus. We think he's the guy, but like, I'm keep it real quiet because I don't want them to say nothing about me. It's fear of man. They loved praise from men more than praise from God. Fear of man. Here it is in Galatians 2:11. Paul is rebuking Peter because Peter is succumbing to fear of man. When Cephas came to Antioch, Cephas is Peter, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For he regularly ate with Gentiles before certain men came from James. But however, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself from the Gentiles because he feared those from the Jewish party. Then the rest of the Jews joined his hypocrisy so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. What Paul is saying is Peter was like eating. He was vibing. He was mingling with the Gentiles. And then a bunch of Jewish people came by. This is when like the church was really struggling with the Jewish-Gentile thing. And Jewish people come by, and Peter, knowing like, oh, I'm Jewish, like I'm very Jewish, I shouldn't be hanging out with these Gentiles. I should be hanging out with them. And then dips. Because he is so scared of what they're going to think about him, when knowing that he is in the right place, doing the right thing, he sees their opinion as more important to what God has called him to do. All right? Have we ever felt like this? Okay, now I feel better. Because at the front, I asked if you guys felt like this, and no one responded at all. But now I said, do you guys feel like this with fear of man? And I know every single one of you feels this, and none of you responded. So I actually feel better about this now. I feel better about this. I feel better about this. The idea that we are so worried about what people think about us, more so than we are worried about what God thinks about us, is something that will trip up anybody. Trips up Peter, right? Now, we don't have a super high opinion of Peter's like general, you know, ability to do the right thing, because he shows a pretty good track record of not being able to do the right thing. But guess what? He's ultimately a very faithful person that we get to look up to. And even he struggled with this. That the opinions of the people around us are really important to us. They're really important to us. If they weren't important to you, you would delete all your social media. But guess what? You know what? I have social media too, because it's sometimes important to me. Where does fear of man come from? So where does it come from, right? The way I see it, Matthew 6:21 tells us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what is it that you treasure? What is it that you want? What is it that you most deeply desire? Whatever that is, that's where your heart is. Right? Anybody ever heard in like a crime procedural drama on TV, like, oh, we gotta follow the money, right? Whoever did this crime, we don't know. We'll find out if we just follow the money. You've heard that before?
Yeah.
We're familiar with that phrase? Why is it? Why does it matter? Because people are going to spend money on the thing that they most deeply desire. Whether it's power or fame or, you know, possessions, they're going to spend their money there. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My sister was friends with someone whose life goal was to be a millionaire. That's like, which is, by the way, not a goal. It's not a goal. Anyway, so whole life goal was, I'm going to be a millionaire someday. And every single thing that they did was in reflection of this deepest desire of theirs. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So, is your treasure in the opinions of others? Is that the thing you value most? We can begin to overcome our worries about what other people think about us when our treasure becomes God's opinion about us, the one that doesn't change. When we give less place in our hearts for opinions and more place for God's unchanging opinion toward us, we can begin to overcome our worries about what people think about us. Because those change all the time. They change all the time. So this is the only part of this message that is for you. Okay, I told you this isn't going to be for you. I lied. Okay, this part's for you. Because in order to rid yourself of too highly valuing the conditional validation of others, you got to meditate on and accept God's unconditional love for you and his desire that you use your everything for his glory. Okay? You are always going to be uncomfortable by the way that you're made and how it applies to your pursuit of God's will for you. It's just always going to kind of be like that. But who you are, who you're made to be, is specifically related to the way that God wants you to glorify him with your life. And in order for you to step into that fully and step into that boldly, you got to care a lot more about how he thinks of you than how they think of you. So maybe other people are always going to be just like a little bit annoyed with the way that you act. But if that's not proceeding from sin, and that's not proceeding from like some kind of prideful mentality, or some kind of like I'm gonna show them theirs, right? I'm gonna show them that I'm like this, you know, like that kind of pride mentality. If that's not where it's coming from, and you're just doing your thing in the way that the Lord has called you to do it, and other people don't like it, that's not on them, or that's not on you. That is on them, and you just gotta do what you do. Follow the Lord. Follow how he made you. Follow the way that you want to glorify him. Pray about it. And if other people have a problem with it, that's on them. How can we accept that? How can we accept that? By valuing God's opinion of us more highly than we value others. If you can step under the relentless waterfall of his love for you, then you will find that the negativity that people think about you will become a lot more easy to brush off. I've gotten a couple mean emails before. Doesn't matter to me. Jaden and Jordan and Bree are really unhappy with the way that James Harden is now on the Sixers. Guess what? I don't care. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't bother me, Aaron. I'm happy. But they don't like it. They don't like it. You know? Have you ever seen a person walking in full confidence that what they're doing, they are sure that it's what God has for them? You ever seen that kind of thing? You ever seen someone who like no regard for anybody else, I'm going to do the thing that God has for me? Have you ever seen that? That's crazy. When you see someone just like ripping through life with the way that they're made and the way that God has for them to live, and they're just doing it, and they don't care what other people think, that's dangerous, dude. That is dangerous. Imagine. All right, Satan wakes up. He wakes up, okay? And he's thinking, I'm going to mess some things up today. But then he sees you, all right? He sees you, and he's like, all right, I'm going to shake him. I'm going to send someone in. I'm going to make him say some mean things. I'm going to make him feel real bad. And then someone comes up and says some real mean things, make you feel real bad. But then you say, ah, God got me. I'm going to keep going. Satan in shambles. Wait, he can't mess with you? Dude, that's crazy. That's crazy. You almost, like, at that point, you start to feel bad for him, right? You're like, man, you're trying so hard. You're trying your best. Yeah. Then you remember, oh, yeah. Wait, no, I put that for him. It is crazy when you are able to walk in a sort of confidence that can't be shaken by other people saying that, oh, I don't like it. God likes it, then that's cool. We stand. So then the other part of this, okay, so that's the part that's for you. But now here's the part that's about everybody else. And for that, we turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 20. I'll give you just a second to turn there. I can't tell if I'm making good time or not. Yeah, Romans 12, verses 9 through 20. It goes like this. Let's love, and by the way, I've read this before. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, but have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, I hate this verse, man. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Come on. Really? But Paul, dude, you just, like, you don't get it, man. You don't get these people. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Dang. Hate that one. This passage rips. Let love be without hypocrisy. All right. Imagine, and none of you would ever do this. None of you would ever do this. You ever like pretended to be nice to someone that you didn't like? I was going, no, none of you would do that. That's crazy. Because Romans 12:9 says that let love be without hypocrisy. We would never do that. Right. Never. Yeah. I've also never done that. That's because of course, like, well, I would never do that. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Honestly, that one's big. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Right? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. I've talked about giving preference to one another, what that means. In other translations, this says, outdo one another in showing honor. That's what it says in other translations, which I love. So I'll have senior teens at some point, we'll talk about Bible translations. That's a side note. Outdo one another in showing honor. Right? It's that thing, guys, I'm sure, like, this is a universal guy experience. Girls, not as much. Guys, you ever held a door? Yeah. Held a door for someone, and they say, no. You please go. Yes. And you say, no, I'm holding the door. You go. And he says, no, no, you've been holding it for long. You go. And you say, no, I insist. You must go. Yeah. And then it's like 5 minutes, and then other people are coming, and they're just waiting for the one guy. And now you're starting to feel bad because you're holding it, but you want to do the right thing, right? You're trying to outdo each other and doing the right thing. And usually that can be sort of I'm not going to be the guy who has someone held the door open for me because I'm a guy, right? Sometimes that's how it is, but But that kind of idea of like outdoing one another and trying to show like etiquette and preference, imagine that, but spiritually, okay? So imagine this, right? So I was challenged, like I'm being you, right? I'm being the theoretical you. I was challenged at snow camp of I want to be someone who uses my creative mind and my creative gifts for the good of the ministry and for the good of the church. So I want to like make stuff. I want to do some crafts, right? That's what I want to do. So you come in and you like, you've been working on something. You come in and then now you're in the room and you've got this thing that you made. Let's say it's like a poster, like a built different type of poster. And you're like, I want to put this post, but then you walk in and you're like, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I'm just going to bring it home. Like, I don't want to put myself out there. You flip it around. You don't want anybody to see it. You put it outside in the hall. Okay, imagine this never happened, right? How do you outdo or show preference to one another in that moment? You go up to that person and you say, hey, can I see that? Oh, dude, that's so good. We gotta show breeze. We gotta put this up somewhere. And then guess what? Now you're actually able to use that gift that you wanted to use because you're getting loved and supported from the people around you. Now guess what? You might still think, having made that little thing, a little creative project you had, you might still think, man, people are gonna think that I'm like annoying for that. And guess what? There might be one person who kinda almost does. But that is a them problem and not a you problem. And if you're the person who sees someone else trying to walk into the gifts that they have and walk into the traits and the God-given desires and passions that they have for the good of the ministry, and it's not a sin issue, and you see that and you're like, do they have to do it like that though? Check your heart. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in diligence, but be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saint, given to hospitality. I love given to hospitality. Just like you are in a constant state of like wanting to be hospitable to people. In a constant state of being like, hey, come on in, grab one of those cookies. Come on, like sit down, let's talk. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Love, do not be wise in your own opinion. Love that. Don't be the person who's like, man, they shouldn't do it like that. Really, they should do it my way. They should do it this way. I could give them like 5 tips right now on how to make their thing better. Because you just kind of want to be the person who like had the right answer, right? Do not be wise in your own opinion. Associate with the humble. Associate with the lowly. It is not a spiritual virtue to believe yourself to be the smartest one in the room. It is not a spiritual virtue to think of yourself as the most spiritual person in the room. Jesus walked around as the most spiritual person ever. Okay? We're talking about like faith toward God, and he is God. No one had more faith in God than Jesus. Can we just agree on that? Just real quick. Okay, no one was more spiritual than him. Think about the humility with which he walked and the humility with which he dealt with ordinary people. He never talked to anyone in his life that was even 10% as spiritually knowledgeable as him. He never talked to one person who knew even 10% as much as he did. And yet he is always teaching. He is always gracious. He is always humble. He is always gentle. If that is not a virtue that you are displaying toward others, gentleness, patience, kindness, love in your speech, if that's not something you're doing because you're like, just like get it already. Come on. You're being wise in your own opinion. You're not associating with the humble. You're not outdoing one another and showing honor. What we see here in this passage is the model for finding unity in our diversity. Okay? We are all wildly different from one another. The way that we're wired in here, completely different. But you see someone who is like, someone who like your whole life has just like low-key annoyed you, just like a little bit, just like the way that they breathe, you know what I mean? Like just like, ugh, why do you have to eat chips like that, right? Like just that person, okay? That person, right? Just think about, and side note, I'm the person who breathes too heavy. Because I literally have asthma, and I've had people say to me, why are you breathing like that? I'm trying to live. Okay, but anyway. But imagine, okay, someone who just like annoys you just because of the way that they are starts pursuing what God has for them. They used to be scared to do it. Like, imagine they want to sing. They want to sing. They, you know, they want to sing on the praise band, and they've always like kind of annoyed you. And you're like, you're just looking at them on the stage. You're like, I just, like, there's something about them. I just don't get it. I just, like, it bothers me. And you're just thinking that, and you're like, you can't get past it. What do? You turn to Romans 12, 9 through 20, and you repent. You are always, there's always going to be someone that you're like 5, 10% annoyed with, always. Always. There's always going to be that person. Does not matter what stage of life you're at. Does not matter how many people you try to cut out of your life. There's always going to be someone who just the way that they live, the way that they talk, the things that they talk about, is just like, okay, dude, like, I got to find someone else to talk, right? There's always going to be that person. But it is your responsibility to ask the Lord to take that away from you and help you love others without hypocrisy. That is your responsibility. If they aren't actively sinning in the thing that they're doing, and you just don't like it because you don't like it, that is a you problem. Repent of it and do not be wise in your own opinion. And let's say that after all this, you still feel like people have an issue with you. Let's say you still feel, okay, thank you for talking to all the other people in my life, but I still don't like any of this, right? One, it is not impossible that, as we talked about with the words of Jesus in our Understanding Weird Commands little mini-series, it is not impossible that you have been unable to beware the leaven, right, as Jesus talked about. And for those of you who don't remember, beware the leaven means that there are small thoughts that will creep into your brain and completely change the way you think about X, right? That for the disciples, it was that the Pharisees had been mumbling and rumbling all around Israel, like, there's no way that Jesus is the Messiah. He is a criminal and a heathen. And the disciples literally walking with Jesus are asking Jesus, like, can we be sure that you're the Messiah? And Jesus says to them, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. What he's saying is there's tiny thoughts that are creeping in and completely changing the way you are thinking about the things you know to be true. Okay? So it could be possible that you have had trouble doing that, which I get. It could be that some rogue thought has crept into your mind and replaced the truth with a lie. And that you think that there is something that, even though you know is something you ought to step into, you just are so certain that if you do it, people are going to be bothered. And that is enough for you to just not do it. So maybe that's it. Or maybe have you considered that perhaps a convinced... Let me restart that. I stumbled on like 12 words there. Listen, if you are dealing with the like beware the leaven, the Pharisee thing, and there's just a thought that just exists, you don't know where it came from, and just changing the way that you think about God and about yourself. There's a way around that. It starts with prayer, and it ends with reliance on God by fearing Him more than others. Okay? Have you considered, this is two, have you considered that perhaps a convicting thought of this kind could be indicative that deep down you're doing the thing that you're trying to do, not for God's glory, but for yours? Okay? You're thinking like, people might still have an issue with me if I like get up and sing, or if I make like a creative work, or if I try to, you know, lead others, people are going to think like bad things about me. A convicting thought like that might indicate that you are doing it for your own glory and not for God's. We talked a lot about Psalm 139 during snow camp. You have formed my substance, and all the days you have fashioned for me. That's Psalm 139. Here's how it ends. Here's the last two verses in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any grievous way within me. Okay? So what David is saying here is, just like, see through me with your x-ray vision, O God. And if there's anything within me that is doing this for selfish reasons, show it to me. If you ask God to show you that, if you say, Lord, search me and show me what you find, he will search you and he will show you what he finds. And there's a chance that he will say, listen, you're doing this selfishly. You're doing this for you. He said that to me. Said that to me at Word of Life. Woo-hoo. Hayden was asking me the other day if there was anything that I would change about Word of Life. And I was like, yeah. Yeah. Probably would have tried to avoid that whole band thing. But you know what? I learned a lot from it. Learned a lot from it. So I guess not. On the wrong day, though, I would change it. Never mind. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any grievous way within me. Okay? If you just pray those two verses, Psalm 139, 23, and 24, if you just pray those two verses, dude, love it. You are going to find some things about you that you didn't know were there. And the Lord is going to help you walk through them and allow you to glorify him through your body, through your life, through your creation, through your build differently in very cool ways. But maybe neither of those things are true. You're like, okay, well, the leaven thing isn't true about me, I don't think. And I really don't think I'm being like selfish or chasing my own glory or anything. Then here's what the passage says. Romans 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay? So if you think people are throwing darts at you because people just don't like me and I'm just having a really hard time serving God with the way that I am because I just don't feel like people like me. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And what is good? God's word alive in you, that's really good. The Spirit's work to grow and shape you into his vessel, that's really good. The eternal work of Christ in and around you, that's real good. Overcome evil by utilizing the goodness of God's work in and around you. If people got beef with the things you're doing, then that just means you're in ministry. That's all that means. Do not be conquered by evil around you, but overcome evil with good. You, as an individual, ought to embrace the full goodness of what God is doing around you, okay? Because there's a whole lot of goodness just happening in this room. You ought to embrace the full goodness of what God is doing around you, and if you do, you'll find that naysayers and haters, all right, just for lack of a better term, those punk haters will affect you a lot less. You just like, and this is crazy, you just like, there will be times when someone says something to you, and you walk away being like, I am completely unaffected by this. And that's a wild feeling. To be like, man, it's just cool knowing that your opinion doesn't matter. Because I am more concerned about what God thinks about what I'm doing. Dog, imagine if Paul, when people were throwing stones at him, went home and was like, man, people really don't like this. Barnabas, we gotta pack it up, man. Imagine Acts just stops at chapter 14. Imagine, right? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. People are gonna have things to say because people saying stuff is like Satan's number one way of getting you to stop whatever it is you're doing. He's really good at what he does. He's practiced for a really long time, and he knows exactly what needs to be said for you to just stop. And if you can trust that God has got your back enough that stuff like doesn't matter to you as much, it's literally game over. In a good way. Game over for him, right? But to make that easier, we all have to make a commitment to one another and take seriously our strict responsibility to be loving and sincere with others who, just like you, want to honor God with the way they live. We got to love and support the people around us as the church. Because yes, you as a member of the body of Christ, you owe it to others to support their exploration of God-given traits and gifts with love and sincerity. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be a ministry that embodies this passage. Help us to be a ministry that is, one, completely overcome by our confidence in you. Let us stand on the strong rock of our salvation and not be shaken by the things that people say about us. But Lord, more than that, I pray that we as a ministry would support and love and edify one another with the way that we speak, with the way that we act. And Lord, when one person decides to step into their gifts in a new and an exciting way, that the rest of the ministry would rally behind them and support them as they do it. Lord, you are doing incredible things with these students. I look forward to seeing your work completed in all of them. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to make us what we are not yet. And it is in your precious name we pray. Amen.